He seemed a little fixed in his ways, and it kind of had me thrown a little bit. But the more I got to know Keith, the more I loved Keith. I remember early on in the semester, Keith said to us, we were meeting one time a week. Keith said, guys, we're not just going to meet one time a week as RAs. We are going to meet twice a week. And we're like, twice a week? He said, hey, we're going to meet twice a week. We're going to meet one time to do business, to do the work that we have to do. And then he said, we're going to meet another time. We're going to meet at 10 o'clock on Thursday nights, and we are going to study the Bible together. And he had a revolt on his hands, friends. You would have thought a bunch of like well-mannered RAs would have thought that was a good idea, but not for Keith, not in this group. This group, suddenly we all thought that was a bad idea. We got together, though, that first time, and he said, we are going to memorize together John chapter 15. John chapter 15. It's in your Bible, and I'd like you to go there if you would. We thought he meant we were going to memorize the one verse that we all know. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We thought we were going to memorize that, or even just the first eight verses like we're going to talk about primarily this morning. But no, he said, we are going to memorize the entire chapter, men. And I remember looking at him like, this guy, the cheese has fallen off of his cracker. Like, this guy has lost his mind, and he's a few fries short of a Happy Meal, you know? And I'm like, no. And so then he said this. He raised it one level higher. He said, not only are we going to memorize this, but if you get a word wrong every week, we just added a verse every single week that we met, for every word you get wrong in memorizing this chapter, you have to pay a dollar. Every word. Bunch of poor college kids. Like, all the money I had was money that I bummed off my parents from my last visit home, you know? And so he's like, you know, we're going to pay a dollar into the middle of the kitty, and it's going to go into a pot. He didn't tell us what that was for, and we all were kind of confused by that. I remember ultimately we used that money at the end of the semester to celebrate that we made it all the way through John chapter 15, and we used that money to buy dessert at the Olive Garden. Anybody love the Olive Garden in this room? Think we ought to bring one to Hayward? I'm telling you what. We used it to buy dessert at the Olive Garden, but Keith, true to form, he said, boys, if you don't, boys and men, boys to men, there you go. See what I just did there? The 80s just came back, boys to men. He said, if you don't memorize this chapter word for word, and you don't get it the last time we're together, you're not going to the Olive Garden. And one guy didn't get to go. And we spent all his money buying Crepe cheesecake that night at the Olive Garden. Now, I tell you that story to tell you this. What I learned when I memorized John chapter 15 changed my life. Sometime we'll just spend a number of weeks and we'll go through John chapter 15 together. But it changed my life. Because Keith wanted to teach us something. He wanted to teach us, this will be on the screen, that it's one thing to understand what Jesus does, but it's another thing to understand who Jesus is. Keith wanted us to learn who Jesus really was. And by the way, you know what's interesting to me? I worked with Keith. I was on his staff my sophomore year, my junior year, my senior year. There were a group of us, myself, a guy named Steve Wilson who worked for Gordon Foods, another guy named Jeff Morehouse who was on the tennis team. We were all in this together. There was another guy that was part of our group. And even when we hit our graduating day, we went to Keith. Keith wasn't even an RD anymore. And we said, Keith, can we still get together at 10 o'clock on Thursday nights to study the Bible? And Keith said, absolutely. And we would meet in the back room of his house. Through all those years, we would meet in the back room of his house then. He was teaching on campus. And we would study the Bible together. See, Keith wanted us to not only understand what Jesus does, he wanted us to understand who Jesus really is. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today we look at this. I am the vine. Now, John chapter 15, the whole chapter is really good, and I want to encourage you to spend some time there, but I want us to start with a verse that I hope we can memorize, and if you do not memorize this verse today, an extra dollar in the offering plate next Sunday will be had, okay? So ready? We're going to read this together, and go. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do. Let's read that one more time. And let's remember for a moment the moment when Jesus is saying this and who he's saying this to. He's saying this to his disciples. He's saying this in a crucial moment in time. And he looks them square in the eye and he says this. Let's read it. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, it was another professor that I had that I'll tell you less about, but another professor that I had in college, and he taught me this. He taught me that every text has a context. And that if you're going to study the Bible, you have to understand the context in which something is being said. And in this moment, Jesus is less than 24 hours away from being arrested. And all of the events of that week are set to unfold. And he looks square in the eyes of his disciples. And he says to them, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is in that moment, in that setting, Jesus is telling his disciples something that will carry them through days that they never would have fully imagined. Well, we hear this verse, and we might ask this question, why does it matter? Why does it even matter that we stay connected to the vine? We hear about vines and branches and we think, good grief, we live in Hayward, Wisconsin. We're hardy people. I mean, it snows in April. Good grief, it snows in May. I was getting my hair cut this week. Y'all like my haircut? I'll tell you what, I got a pretty good haircut this week. I was getting my hair cut and the lady that was cutting my hair, she said, when's it? It was snowing outside when she was cutting my hair. And she said, when's it supposed to stop snowing? And I said, July the 4th is what I told her. And then it's supposed to snow again on the 5th. But why is being connected to the vine such a big deal? Well, first, being connected to the vine produces fruit in our lives. Now, we all like this, but we're not just talking about any kind of fruit. We're not talking about, like, just any kind of fruit. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we abide in Jesus, when we remain in the vine, when we remain in the vine, we bear much fruit. But when we are disconnected from the vine, you all need to get this today, it produces nothing. In fact, this is what the Bible says. This is what your Bible says. This isn't just some worked up preacher who's trying to lay a guilt trip on anybody today. But the Bible says that when you are disconnected from the vine, you're like a branch. A branch that withers and dries out and then it's thrown into the fire and it's burned. You're like a branch that's disconnected, and that branch does not bear any fruit. Being disconnected from the vine produces nothing. Jesus says, if you do not remain in me, this is what you are. Now, I was thinking about this week, and there are times I told Julie, often my wife Julie will ask me, how's the message coming for Sunday? And this one yesterday, when I kind of just finished it, I said to her, when she asked me how I was going, I said, this message is something that I'm preaching to myself this week. So I really don't care if any of you get anything out of this. I'll be totally honest. Spoken like a preacher. Some of you are like, well, it's about the fifth week in a row. But no, I kid. This one's for me. Because my job, my first job as a pastor is to abide in the vine. My first job as a pastor isn't just to write like really great sermons for Sunday. And my first job as a pastor isn't just to like plan really great events like an Easter extravaganza with thousands of eggs and more sugar than any 8-year-old should ever have. That's not our first job as pastors of this church. Our first job is to abide in the vine so that this doesn't result. That's our first job. My first job as a husband isn't just to be a husband. It's to be someone who abides in the vine so that my life begins to look more like Jesus. See, my job, if you will, our job, your job, is to remain in the vine. And if you do that, you will bear much fruit. And if you don't, this is the result. Now, the branch has one job. The branch has one job, and that is to receive nourishment from the vine. And you have one job. And that is, I don't want to poke my eye out today. Your one job is to receive nourishment from Jesus. I am the vine. The message says, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relationship is intimate and organic. The harvest is sure to be abundant, but separate from me, you cannot produce one thing. Now, I don't want to sound fatalistic in what I'm about ready to say, but part of the reason that it matters that we stay connected is because anyone who is disconnected from the vine is capable of anything, anything. Marriages crumble, addictions form, work becomes a drug, excuses become easier. You think about people that you know that one day they were connected to the vine and now they are disconnected and their life is like a dried up branch. Our job is to stay connected to the vine. So then it begs this question, well, how do you do that? How do you do that? I don't know about you, but sometimes I read the Bible and I read what it says and I think to myself, well, that's really good. How do I do that? Let me say a word just before I tell you what Jesus said. There are certain things in life. Stephen Covey tells us this in a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I don't know why it wasn't 5 Habits or 8 Habits, but 7 Habits. He said there are certain things in life that are urgent, and then there are things in life that are important. We all know this. There are urgent things and there are important things. So let's play this out for a second. Let's just imagine that we're in this room right now, and let's imagine that Pastor Jeremy came running in the back of the room and yelled, "The building is on fire!" Now, what would we all do in that moment? We would exit this building gracefully and joyfully, like kids in a palm parade, and in that urgent moment, we would leave. You wouldn't say, well, I want to know what the conclusion of this message is this morning. We would leave because it's urgent, right? But important isn't yelling the building is on fire. Important is checking the batteries and the smoke detector. Important is saying, do we have fire extinguisher? Those are important things. They're not urgent things, but they're important. Now, in the same way, when you think about abiding in the vine, it is not an urgent thing. It is not a 911 call. Instead, abiding in the vine is an important thing. It's seldom urgent, but friends, it is always important. There's 1,000 things when we start our day that may seem more important to you than abiding in the vine, but I would argue that there is nothing that is more important in the beginning and the end of your day than to abide in the vine. So how do I do this? This isn't going to sound urgent at all, but it's certainly important. Here's the first thing. Number one, you do what Jesus says. Remain in me, and I remain in you. This branch can't bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. You cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command, and I remain in his love. Keep his commands. Do what Jesus says, and you will remain in the vine. Francis Chan talks about this way, because often we do everything but doing what Jesus says. Francis Chan tells a story about a parent. And he said, imagine this parent has a child, and the child comes into the room, and the parent says, I'd like you to go clean your room. And the child leaves for a while and then comes back, and the parent says, did you clean your room? And the child says, well, I memorized everything I could about cleaning my room. And the parent says, no, but did you clean your room? And the child says, well, I got four friends together, and we talked about what it would mean if we cleaned our room. And we also studied the word clean in Greek, and it means cleanio, which means to clean in haste and to clean with much fortitude. And the parent's like, no, did you clean your room? Well, I went to a conference on room cleaning. I listened to somebody that had cleaned thousands of rooms, and they talked about how to clean rooms more effectively. And the parent finally is saying, well, did you clean your room or not? I think God would say to us today, are you cleaning your room? I've told you to forgive, to love people, to invest yourself in others, to give, to value, to be selfless, to rest. Just clean your room. You don't have to talk about it one more day. You don't have to think about it one more day. Just clean your room. Do what Jesus says. But here's the second thing. Love like Jesus loves. My command is this, Jesus says in verse 12. Love each other as I have loved you. Do you remember how Jesus said he loved us? I am the good shepherd, he said. And I lay my life down for the sheep. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So now you must love one another. Now, man, this is hard. Because have you looked around the room lately at how hard it is sometimes to love people? Do you realize how hard it is sometimes to really love someone? You're like, well, Jesus, what about this person? What about that person? I'm supposed to love them? And Jesus says, no, I want you to love each other in the same way as I have loved you. The same way. He's the one who calls the unloved beloved. He's the one who says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, with unfailing love. And he says, I want you to love each other like that. Now, you hear that. And you think, man, that is impossible. And it is. It's absolutely impossible in your own strength. You and I both are incapable of loving like Jesus loved. You're going to need to write this down, friends. You and I are incapable of loving like Jesus loved apart from being connected to God's word and apart from being connected to God's people. You will never love like Jesus loved if you are not connected to his word and you are not connected to people. It's not in our nature to do it. Left unto ourselves, we're like, I don't want to love that person. They are unlovable. And Jesus says, that's exactly the point. I want you to love them the way that I love them. You want to know how a church changes a community? It's when a whole group of people come together and they say, you know what? We are going to abide in the vine, and we are going to love people, and we are going to do what Jesus says. And when that happens, we start to love people a little deeper. And not all at once. I'm not saying this is easy, but over time, little blossoms begin to form on the branches of our lives, and over time, fruit forms, and you don't know when it happened, but somewhere along the time of a lifetime of abiding in Christ, a lifetime of abiding, fruit is born. Love people deeper. Have you ever noticed, turn on the news sometime, there's not a lot of love in the world right now. There's a lot of pushing and punching. There's a lot of they said, they did. Do you know her? Do you know what he did? There's a lot of that all over the news. And I want you to know, you want to know how the world's going to change? You want to know how Hayward's going to change? We're going to love like Jesus loves. Love that's patient, love that's kind, love that doesn't envy, love that doesn't boast, love that isn't proud, love that isn't rude, love that isn't self-seeking, love that isn't easily angered, love that keeps zero record of wrongs. Can you imagine loving like that? Love that doesn't delight in evil, love that rejoices in the truth, love that protects and perseveres, and love that never fails. Your job, get this, friends, is not to bear fruit. Your job is to cling to Jesus. Your job is to cling to Jesus. And he, if you hold on to him, he will have fruit in your life. The Bible says fruit that will last. So I'd like you to bow your heads with me. And in a minute, we're going to sing a song. And we're going to sing a song that I just love this song. And but before we do that, I want you to hear some words from a wonderful little devotional book called Jesus Calling by Sarah Young. She writes every day after a little passage of scripture, she writes as if Jesus is speaking. So I want you to imagine Jesus speaking to you today. She says, I'm calling you to live a life of constant communion with me, talking as Jesus. Basic training will include learning to live above your circumstances, even while interacting on that cluttered plane of your life. You yearn for a simplified lifestyle so that your communication with me can be interrupted, but I challenge you to relinquish the fantasy of an uncluttered world. Accept each day as it comes, and find me in the midst of it all. Talk with me about every aspect of your day, Jesus would say to us, including your feelings. Your ultimate goal is not to control or fix everything that's around you. It's to keep communing with me. A successful day is one in which you have stayed in touch with me, even if many things remain undone at the end of the day. Do not let your to-do list, whether it's written or mental, become an idol in directing your life. Instead, ask my Spirit to guide you moment by moment, and He'll keep you close to me. Nothing is complete without Jesus. Everything exists because of Him. And everything is missing something without Him. And not just missing something, but the central thing. The thing that supplies true meaning and purpose to all things. Jesus, may you help us to abide in you. We know, Father, that it is seldom urgent, but we know that it's absolutely important. And so this week, when we are driven to abide in lesser vines, may we abide in you. This week, when we have choices to make, may we abide in you. When we are confused, may we abide in you. When we've lost hope, may we abide in you. When we are discouraged and distraught, may we abide in you. And as we abide in you, may we become more and more like your Son. May there be fruit that's born, not just born in the course of days, but over week upon week. As the one writer says, as we walk out a road in a long obedience in the same direction, that fruit would be born in our lives. I pray this for myself, and I pray this for the people I love so much in this room.
Lord, make us more. Make us more like you are. The only way that we can do that is by remaining connected to the vine. I'm the true vine, you're the branches, is what Jesus said. Lord, we want to produce good fruit. We want to be good, healthy branches, but so many times we try to do that before we actually connect with you. And it's all in vain. So Lord, would you beckon us back to your heart again? Stir our hearts to just want to press in, to know you more, just develop a relationship with you so you're not just an idea or a theological concept or an ideology to get behind, an agenda, but that we would know you as a person. We would know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, make us more like Jesus in our workplaces, in our conversations. The way we post on social media, in our political conversations, whatever the case may be, make us more like Jesus. Because I think we've done enough on our own trying to be more like us. We need you, God. We submit to you, God. More of you, less of me. Help us to empty our cup so we can be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 7. chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So as you go from this place, just be thinking, how can we connect into the vine? I hope that you guys leave with a hunger to know Jesus more. I guess that's the benediction for today. Go be the church. You guys are dismissed. We'll see you soon.